August 1 is the memorial of St. Alfonso Ligori, Doctor of the Church, Bishop. He founded the order that today is called the Redemptorist because of Jesus the Redeemer. He had many trials in order to be able to found his community, and after becoming a bishop, he became very ill after 15 years and had to give up his diocese and suffer greatly the rest of his life and many physical and trials of many types. But today we're going to use the readings of the day, which is the Monday of 18th week of Ordinary Time, Matthew 14, 13 to 21. When Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. The crowds heard of this and followed him on foot from their towns. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it is already late. Dismiss the crowds so that they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." He said to them, "There is no need for them to go away. Give them some food yourselves." But they said to him, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have here." Then he said, "Bring them here to me." And he ordered the crowd to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up the fragments left over, 12 wicker baskets full. Those who ate were about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. The Gospel of the Lord. Dear family, the heart of Jesus is pierced with sorrow because they just have killed John the Baptist. And remember that he had said he came to set the captives free, and yet he did not set John the Baptist free. Rather, John the Baptist was reserved for a greater glory, which is to be a martyr, and in this way also the precursor of Jesus' own death at the cross. So often when we suffer, we think that God has abandoned us, and we don't realize the sorrow of the Lord for our own sorrows, how he is accompanying us, and that if we understand this and join with him in our trials, we are coming to a greater glory than if we had not the trials. So the bottom line is trust in God's providence for you. In all things, he is caring, loving, present with you and with me and with all of us. But Jesus is so burdened and tired with what is going on that he needs, as a human being, rest. He needs to go by himself to a deserted place. And when we say by himself, according to Scripture, it includes also his disciples. In other words, he goes to rest with his intimate family. And I think that's the way we also like to rest. If we have a family that loves and respects us, we go to rest with the family. And there they found that the crowd discovered that he was going there to that desert place, and they went ahead of him. And so when he disembarks from the boat, he has to begin to minister. And he does it without anger, without being upset that this happened. His plans, in other words, were changed. Even the Lord's plans are changed in as far as he is human, and he accepts at every turn the will of the Father. And we have to be also ready for God to change our plans. That didn't mean that Jesus did not pray. It didn't mean that Jesus did not discern properly. But often the plans of God unfold at the moment, and he doesn't let us know until the moment. And so he begins to minister to them all day. And when evening comes, one of his disciples, being very wise and attentive to the situation, counsel him, better dismiss them so they can go home and get some food. But Jesus is going to use the occasion to show them something further. He tells them now to recline. And notice the steps that Jesus has taken that will remind us of the Eucharist. First of all, the day of the Eucharist, per excellence, is the day of rest of the Lord. It's a day of rest for Jesus, and he's gathering, and now he's going to give himself in the Eucharist. And remember, they reclined, and when it says they sat in the grass, actually, it's they reclined, and that is also a term used in the Last Supper. And the Lord, looking up to heaven, said the blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples. The same words that are used in the Last Supper and at every Mass. Now, before in the Old Testament, we already had miracles of the multiplication of breads. Think about the manna in the desert, and think about the prophet Elisha, who took 20 loaves of bread and fed 100 persons, but never to this extent. So what God was doing in the Old Testament, now through his own Son, he's doing in a much broader way, in the way of fulfillment. And he takes only 5 loaves and he feeds a multitude. The men alone were 5,000, so it could have been maybe 25,000 people or more altogether, considering that there are more women than men that follow Jesus most of the time. And so the Lord could have done the miracle out of nothing. He doesn't need the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, but notice that Jesus always wants us to do our part. And the apostles had to trust in him and give them all they had. If all they had was 5 loaves and 2 fish, that's what Jesus took. And with that, he did the miracle. In your life, God wants to do miracles too, but you have to give him all you have and trust. Put everything in the hands of the Lord. Now, it's good to plan, it's good to see the needs, but remember, we need to then go to the Lord and allow him to give us instructions that may surprise us, because he's going to do something better. And this is the teaching of the day. There are needs, but the Lord knows them, and he wants to do something better, and we have to give him all we have so that we allow him to do what he wants to do. At the end, he gathers 12 baskets full of the fragments left over to signify the 12 tribes of Israel. The Lord is not going to only feed those people there, but this is a symbol of the Lord feeding all those who believe in him. We go now to the first reading, which is from Jeremiah chapter 28, and we see a false prophet, Hananiah, and he is saying to the people and to the priest that God will break the yoke of the king of Babylon, and that he will bring back the king and the people back to Jerusalem. And that's what the people want to hear. But Jeremiah receives the word from the Lord and confronts this false prophet and reminds him and the people that the true prophets are the ones who say the truth, not what people like to hear. So if a prophet prophesies peace and well-being, his prophecy is only recognized as true when his prophetic prediction is fulfilled. So beware. And so now God gives a word to Jeremiah. The Lord is very angry against this false prophet Ananiah. And in the name of God, Jeremiah tells him that he will die, that the people will actually have even a greater yoke than they have now because of their rebelliousness and their sin. And he says to Ananiah, the Lord has not sent you, and you have raised a false confidence in this people. And as a punishment, he will die that very year. And that's exactly what actually happens. So a question comes up. Do we want to hear everything is wonderful and nice and everything's going to be easy and good for us? Or do we want to hear the truth about the challenges and the trials that are here, that are coming, and are willing to stand fast with the Lord and be faithful through it all? May the Lord bless you and bless all of us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.